Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome back to The Stigma Ends Here. I'm going to give you guys a quick 30 seconds to please do me a favor and share this out to your pages and all your support groups, and we'll be right back with you. Hey, so welcome back. This is episode 10 of The Stigma Ends Here. We had a couple weeks off, so it feels good to be back. And the usual suspect on the screen, Travis, Climb for Recovery, is with me as usual. That's my partner right there. Tonight we have a special show. Before we get started, I just want to, we'll go through some introductions. As you know, I'm Mike. I am a grateful recovering alcoholic and addict, and also the founder of Recovery Army Outreach, Inc., based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
What's up? I'm Travis. I'm also an alcoholic addict, and I am the owner, founder of Climb for Recovery, based out of Maine, and I'm excited to be back.
And I'm... You're going to introduce me?
Yeah, I was going to, but basically I was going to ask you to introduce yourself, so we're good.
Okay.
So, guys, tonight we have Angel Bryant, who you're going to get to know really well, which is, she's an incredible woman involved with a lot of things in the recovery field, and really gives back to, especially to the community, and there's a big event coming up on June 5th that most of you know about. We're going to get into that also. So, Angel, please introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
I'm Angel Bryant, and I am the founder of Stronger Than Addiction. I am a grateful recovering addict. I'm also the mother of two addicts, and we just have a homegrown group here in our state, Indiana. It's called Stronger Than Addiction. We do a lot of community outreach. We have meetings every week. We're not affiliated with NA or AA. Or Celebrate Recovery, but we have members of all that attend our meetings. So I've been sober. My drug of choice was cocaine, and I've been sober from cocaine for 20 years. But I have two children. One is currently in a faith-based rehab in Ohio, and the other is currently, in September, he'll be 2 years sober. So he actually just got his own place, and, you know, everything, his life's just falling back in place for him. So, yeah, I'm a mom of four, and then a mom of like 104 of my addicts here in my community. So just, yeah, that's me.
Yay! That's awesome. And yeah, nobody special. Yeah, right. And that's the gifts of recovery, right? Yeah. And so I just want to ask you, and you know, most people know that I've joined the show before. I just like to kind of dig a little bit deeper just for a quick moment about not your you know, your whole story, but just basically like your turning point, like the point that you came to realize you know things were no longer fun, life becoming manageable, and you know, what made you realize that, and what kind of changes you put into place to get where you're at today, and kind of how you stay that way today.
My turning point was I had actually been sober for about a year and a half. I had went through having my youngest child, and I had been sober through my pregnancy and sober still after he was born. And I had a friend come, and when she came to visit me from Florida, I relapsed that night. And my youngest son was a baby at the time, and he was there at home with me, and she was there, and I had to take him out in the middle of the night to drive her home after we had been up for, you know, we'd been doing coke for hours, and just driving down the street, just all of a sudden, I pulled over to the side of the road and I looked in the back seat, and I knew, you know, with having other children and, you know, always being an addict and, you know, putting their lives on the back burner, that, you know, that wasn't the life for me anymore. And so I think that was my turning point, because that was the last time that I used cocaine. I did then, for quite a few years, I turned my drug of choice became marijuana. So, and, you know, just like any other drug, I was fully addicted to it. It wasn't like, you know, when people tell me it's, you know, well, it's okay, like, I'm sober, but I smoke weed. No. Like, for me, it was an addiction. Like, if I was smoking weed, I was smoking an ounce of weed, you know. So, again, I smoked that. I was a closet smoker for quite a long time. And I think my turning point with that was, you know, watching my children become teenagers and starting to experiment themselves. And being arrested, my oldest son was arrested for a large quantity of marijuana when he was 18. And I just realized, you know, that I couldn't teach my kids. How could I teach them right from wrong if I was just doing wrong? So I think that was, you know, my major turning point, was realizing that the bigger picture was my children and their, you know, forming addictions. And both of my kids started their addiction smoking weed or drinking. And so I knew at that time they needed me more than I needed any kind of drug in my life, whether it be marijuana or, you know, any kind of speed or alcohol. So that was my major turning point when it came to myself and doing, you know, because I consider marijuana a drug. A lot of people don't, but I totally do, because I was that person who, you know, I had to have in my possession marijuana. I couldn't, you know, it was just like fiending for, you know, a speed or a heroin, or I was that person when it came to doing any type of drug. So turning point for me was, you know, and I just had this conversation with my youngest son tonight, is that, you know, I feel like a lot of times, you know, I failed as a parent just because I continued to do some sort of drug as they were growing up, you know, not necessarily in front of them or leaving them behind to do it, but it was always, you know, like, go play, or, you know, this or that. And, you know, I thought I was being sneaky about it, but I wasn't. So, you know, I have to say my turning point was just knowing that my kids needed me more now than they ever did.
Mm-hmm. What, now, what do you do to stay in the middle of your recovery today to maintain the type of life that you've built for yourself and to stay sober?
I do. My main, because I'm not an AA or NA person, I've worked the steps, and I, you know, I have an NA book, but to say that I go to NA meetings and I'm, you know, in that fellowship, I'm not. I'm more, my fellowship is a recovery Bible, which has the steps basically in it. If you've ever seen a recovery Bible, I go to church. I stay intact with God. Like, I spend a lot of time. I drove for almost 5 hours today, and I think I talked to God for three. So, I pray a lot. I have some really close people in my life. I, you know, like, they're not my sponsors, but I call them, you know, my mentor. And I stay so busy in other people's recovery, and I think that's where my healing and my focus, you know, keeps me where I'm at today and keeps me grounded and humble and grateful and all of that. And I do, you know, like, I put the steps in effect in my life on many different levels. But to say that I'm involved in NA or AA, I'm not. Like, Stronger Than Addiction was formed, basically, we're not NA or AA. We're we're a family, and that's how we, you know, conduct ourselves as a family, a very accountable family. we have a lot of accountability. So yeah, that's what I do to stay sober. I stay in touch with God a lot.
Yeah, I love that. And we're kind of the same, you know, with recovery. I mean, obviously we're all inclusive. You know, anyone is welcome if they're part of a fellowship, if they're not part of a fellowship. It just really has the desire to want to stop using and stop drinking, just the willingness to do it and whatever that looks like to them. And just to go back on what you talked about, like about with weed and things like that, like I'm the same kind of way. You know, people can name whatever they want that is or isn't a drug. I just know me personally, I can't use anything in moderation at all at the end of the day. So like absence is the key for me. And the same thing as you is a very faith-based for me. You know, they even have gospel and 12 steps, and you know, you can apply so many principles from so many different areas. But you did bring up you know, stronger than addiction, which I definitely want to talk about. So I'm curious, and I want people to know also, like, when that started, you know, when you decided to start stronger than addiction, and really, you know, what was the purpose behind it, and what's the ultimate goal, especially there in your community? So I know you're doing big things in the community there.
We had craft night the other night, working on some stuff for the event coming up, and somebody asked me, you know, the same thing. The starting of Stronger Than Addiction would have been August the 6th, 2018. On August the 5th, and at this time, my oldest son was, he was in his addiction raging. He was a raging lunatic. He was out of control. And I spent more time awake, you know, just crying and begging on my knees to God, to save him. And, August 5th, he was arrested that morning. I had went to his house and, was taking some food there. And, he had a little girl, my little Stella, that I always and she was with me that night, and I just held her, you know, rocked her to sleep and just cried over her. And I was, my son had been to rehab. Like, I knew in my community, all we had was NAAA, and not to say that it's not appealing, but for most people, it was, I'm here because I need to get a signature, or I'm here because I've been coming for 25 years. And this is the way it is. And then we all get up and leave and say goodbye. And you know what I mean? It wasn't, people weren't feeling welcome in their recovery. Like, I was seeing recovery in other areas where people were enjoying it, and they had cookouts and they had events. And so anyway, that night I was rocking my granddaughter and just kind of scrolling through Facebook. And I seen this post, and it was something, I don't know if you're familiar with Shatterproof. But the very next day, now mind you, it's like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, the night before, the very next day they were having a 5K in Chicago, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm doing this. And I'm like, I don't know how, but I'm doing this. So I messaged my cousin, and I sent it to her, and, you know, she knew all my struggles with my son, and, you know, had set and prayed and cried with me for hours on end, you know, checked in with me every day on him. And I said, hey, this is in Chicago tomorrow, we should go. And she's like, tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, like, we'd have to leave at like 4 a.m. She's like, oh, okay, let's go. So we got another friend and the three of us, and we had 4 kids. We drove to Chicago the next morning. We walked in this 5K, and, you know, I had my little granddaughter, and on the back of her jacket, they had these, you know, like their numbers for when you do the 5K. And on the back of hers, it said, I walk for my daddy. And she had this little dog that she made at Build-A-Bear that we sent to her dad the first time he was in rehab. And when you push his paw, it said, I love you, daddy. Mm-hmm. And I knew then that something, you know, I was going to do something and I didn't know what it was. But for my boys, there had to be something I could do to help them stay sober or get sober. Because my middle son at that time, he was addicted to spice. So that was his drug of choice, and had been found, you know, overdosed on spice, I don't know, 8 or 9 times. So at this time, I was hopeless. You know, like I would pray and beg with God, you know, like, give me back my addiction, like, make them sober. Like, I could handle this. Cause in my heart, I just kept remembering all the dark, deep places that I had been and going through the withdrawal and going through the demons. And I just wanted to take that from them. And I knew I couldn't. And the night before, I was in my son's house, and it was a trap house. And I remember telling him, and I was just sobbing, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, I can't fix you. Like, I know I can't fix this, but I love you. And I think I got peace that night that I told him that. And that was the beginning of Stronger Than Addiction in 2018. And then that kind of, it was in October, and it kind of went, you know, kind of by the wayside. Like, it really, that was all it was. And then we decided, a few parents, a couple friends I had who had loved ones in addiction, we decided, we have the biggest county fair parade. We have the biggest county fair, I think, in the United States. We have a huge county fair. So we decided, like, you know what? We should register to be in the parade. You know, it's like a huge parade. And we're like, there'll probably only be like 10 of us, and we'll hold posters and people will throw stuff at us, but it'll be great. So we're starting to get all hyped up about it. You know, we're going to do this parade with like 5, 6, 7 of us. We didn't know. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to create a Facebook event. So I created a Facebook event. And the day that we had the parade, we ended up with no float in the beginning, too. We had 3 floats. And I think we had close to 100 people show up. And the parade is, I don't know how many miles, but it's, you know, 95 degrees here. And we walk it. The floats are full with kids. And we have hundreds of pounds of candy. And, you know, people were giving us standing ovations. So I'm like, you know, that just sparked my fire. Like, okay, like, this is real. This is happening. And people, you know, when we got to the grandstand, we got a standing ovation. And I said, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. and that day, you know, I had invited my oldest son, my youngest son, I think at that time, my middle son, I believe he was in prison at that time, but my oldest son, I was telling him I was doing that, and he had sent me a picture at the end of the day, and he said, I just caught the end of it. I came to the parade to watch you. And, you know, I knew he wanted it, but I knew it was way out of reach for him as far as he was in his addiction, because his addiction wasn't just drugs. It was drugs and the streets and the whole game itself, you know, like the guns and the gang bang and the ripping and robbing. And it was just madly insane for him. So that was kind of the start in July of 2019. And then again, you know, we're kind of, well, let's see. The parade. So I want to say, right? Okay, back up. Right before in May of 19, I met a lady online who lost her son. He was at a rehab in California, and he overdosed there on fentanyl in rehab. And we knew that it. Like, talking to her, you know, she had it investigated for quite a long time. There was some bad stuff that went on there. But I met her on Facebook, and we just started connecting. So with another friend that had went with me to Chicago, we decided, they had the Not One More walk out in York, Pennsylvania in 19 in May. So we that Friday we left, we drove, I don't know, like 600 and some miles out to Pennsylvania so I could meet her, and we walked in the Not One More Heroin walk. And again, like, my soul's just on fire. And we did this parade, and then this lady, she came out here in 19, and we did the Shatterproof walk, and we ended up taking, I think there was 50 of us that went to Chicago the second year. And again, my kids are both still in addiction in this time, so, you know, I'm fighting for them. And it wasn't until the end of October 2019, because a lot of the churches around here, I would ask, you know, hey, can we come and have a meeting? You know, there's a bunch of us, we need this place, and they just kept turning me down. They're like, oh, we've tried that before and it didn't work. And, you know, I'm just, okay, well, I was angry at the one church because that's the church I went to. So I was like, I'm not coming to your church anymore. I'm done. Not going to let me bring my people in here. I'm not coming back. And then a friend of mine introduced me to Pastor Mark Johnson over in at Life Tabernacle Church. And he said he'd meet me on Sunday. And I told him what I wanted to do. And I mean, it was amazing because without even a hesitation or a weird look or anything, he said, okay, what day do you want to use the church? And I just kind of went into shock. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, how many people do you think you'll have the first time? And I was like, I don't know, probably like 25. He's like, you think you'll have that many? And I said, yeah, Pastor Mark, I think I will. And I think the very first meeting, which was in October of 2019, we had 44 people. Uh-huh. And we've had up to 112 people in the basement of the church at one time. And so on a week-to-week basis, we start at 6 o'clock. We have childcare for the kids. They run around like little mad banshees. And we serve a meal every week. And at 6:30, I usually start, you know, rambling on all these announcements and what we have on our calendar. And then we have our meeting. And we made it through COVID. Like, through COVID, we had parking lot meetings. We would sit out in the parking lot and have our meeting and do sidewalk chalk. And we went back to meeting even when they said, you know, 20 people. We're like, okay, we only have 20 people. You know, we've got 50 people in this room. And we're like, yeah, we're great. But we only ever had to close our meeting twice due to COVID in our group. So we were really blessed by that. On a normal week, we have a low week is 30 people, and a good week is, you know, 50, 55 people. So, last year we went to, and we go as groups, like, you know, Frank and Brian and Joe could tell you, like, when we showed up at their concert last year during COVID, you know, we came in like 4 or 5 vehicles, you know, like a big passenger van full. Like, we were half of the concert. Same, you know, when they were in Fort, and I think it was 2018, they were in Fort Wayne, and we went up there. And again, you know, there was like 6 or 7 carloads. We were half of the concert. So, yeah, we've been to the Blameless Children event. We've been to Chicago twice. We've been to York, Pennsylvania. We're having this crazy event that we are doing. And 2 weeks later, a lot of us have got motel rooms already. I think there's about 30 or 40 of us going down to Kentucky to Andrew Hager's Blameless Children event. That's really huge to my heart. It's a huge blessing what he's doing down there. So, yeah, we just, we make recovery look fun. And I have a really good relationship with our, we have MCC and ECC. Their ECC is just house arrest local, and MCC is house arrest, like, because you either got out of prison or you're not going to prison. And they will let me take anybody on house arrest with the wristband on their ankle, they'll let me take them anywhere to the state line. Like, I can't go across state line with them. But, you know, he told me, the guy who runs it, he said, you know, you really make recovery look good to these people. And that's, you know, what they needed. And we just have a lot of fun. We do fundraisers and help people when we can and buy them bus tickets to rehab and love them when they relapse.
I can't agree with you more, Angel. The fact is recovery is so much more than just stop and use it, you know? And I know for a lot of people who are new to this, like the one thing that they literally convince themselves of is because they can't use, because they can't drink, that there's just no more fun to be had.
Yes.
And I've had so much fun in my recovery than anything that I could even imagine. I mean, it's crazy how our brains can convince us that, like, when we were actively out there using, that was fun, like lying to our employees, stealing money, you know, like what part of melting snow on a heater in my truck to shoot up was fun, you know, like, or swindling my grandmother for money was fun. And, you know, this will be my second trip to Indiana. I was at Aaron Spalding's One Voice event that he had in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And, you know, been blessed to travel around the country to all these and meet these wonderful, beautiful people. And it's that is when I really realized that there's just so much more to just not picking up. You know, there's much more that can be done. And then once you get that grounding, you know, like you said, it took a little bit. You were sober for a while before you started making moves in your community, because we got to get comfortable with ourselves and just being us. But like you said, like when you walked in that parade and you got that standing ovation, it was probably one of the first times in your life where you felt that you were part of the solution and that you were no longer part of the problem to the community.
Yes.
And I know with Climb for Recovery, when we do things and we give back and we hold our Christmas fundraisers, like those are way more meaningful than anything I've ever done. And there are moments where like I'm truly being selfless and trying to give back and help other people is where I feel like I'm most whole. Mm-hmm. And it's a great job, and we're, I know for myself, and I can speak to Mike, we're excited to come down there on June 5th for your event and show up, suit up, and show support for the Recover Out Loud, the Stronger Than Addiction, show love to the Cloud Gang guys, Andrew Hagar. I mean, these are amazing people, Chicago Hope Dealers. Like, I'm excited. Yeah, very excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited too. And just like both of you said too, I want to piggyback on it too. You know, like a lot of people, I think, you know, especially early on, it's about like putting down the drugs and now going like, yeah, we have to do that. But especially thinking like, you know, life's over. But, and I tell people all the time, like, and I've tried that many times just to put down drugs or alcohol. Now, mind you, like at those times I was forced to do so. I was in a jail cell or whatever it may have been. Like, but, you know, I'm still that same asshole. Like, if not worse, I'm more miserable. I'm angrier. I'm more, you know, discontent. Like, I'm more so of these things. And it's like not until like I started making the behavior changes and seeing these promises come true to me, and just like I think it was Jennifer that said, like, and then having like never laughed as hard in my life, and had some of the best times and was able to remember them and like build these connections like Travis talked about, like actually building these genuine connections with genuine authentic people that know who they truly are, what their purpose is, and like that's what it's about. And like together we're truly moving mountains. Like, you know, Travis climbs them, we try to move them, like whatever you want to put it. But you know, like that's what it's about. Like it's incredible, man. And people that find their purpose in this field, and the passion behind it. I know Travis said it, and the same for me. Like some of the biggest moments of my life and some of those most rewarding moments of my life, you know, you don't make a penny from it. It's the fulfillment you get from it that's not monetary in any way, that just fills your soul, like, and just gives you that feeling of filling that passion and that purpose that just is confirmation that you're doing what you need to be doing. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing and walking it out and helping other people find a way. And, you know, Travis led it into that. So like you guys have done so much already in a really a kind of a short period of time, as much as you guys have accomplished, like in the community and everything like that. But we are leading up to, which I cannot wait for, like Travis has said, not tomorrow, Saturday, the following Saturday, June 5th in Indiana, which the lineup is crazy. I can't wait to meet everybody. Of course, get to see Travis again, my man, and Angel and meet there as well. But if you can let everyone know what, you know, what to look forward to for the people that are coming. So it's Recover Out Loud 2021. It's going to be held in Napanee, Indiana, June 5th, 11 a.m. I believe it's open to the public, if I'm not mistaken.
The doors are going to open at 11, yes.
Awesome. So we're all going to be there. And there's also going to be just an amazing list of people that are going to be there. So if you want to just give everybody that doesn't know about it or that do plan on attending, you know, what that's going to look like. I know it's a family event, which is even better, which is incredible also, which is super, super important. You have the youth involved also, and just for educational purposes and just awareness. But if you want to let them know kind of just some people that you can expect to be there and what kind of things are going to be happening at the event.
So there's going to be a lot happening. Speaking of the kids, we have a lot of fun stuff planned for them. We have some different games. We have a bounce house. We got a dunk tank, and I'm super stoked for that. I was actually texting Frank the other night, and I said, hey, you know, you guys, do not forget your swim trunks. Like, this is huge. And he sends me that. He was like, oh, Joe volunteered, with that emoji of, you know, with a hand in the air type. And I was like, oh my God, that's great that Joe's going to take one for the team. Like, great. So I screenshotted it and I sent it to Joe. And I was like, so you volunteer to do the dunk tank. But that's going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm really excited for that. Like, Time for Recovery, like, we're going to put you guys in a dunk tank. So that I want you guys to be prepared, like, for our guests.
Travis is going up there.
Mike, this is for all the guests, and we call our guests like speakers, performers. Like, this is part of your fun. Is getting to get dunked. but the kids, we have a lot of great prizes. We have a pledge wall for them, where they'll get a special something special from us for pledging to be drug free. We have a memorial program set up for people that we have lost in our community due to overdose. Not just overdose, but from losing their lives to addiction, because we have people who have overdosed. We have people who did not overdose, but died because they got a blood infection and it went to their brain. We have people who have been in car wrecks that were under, you know, overly intoxicated. So to us, they died because of addiction, not because of overdose. We kind of do it as the same thing, you know, because a lot of parents will say, you know, I lost my child because of addiction, not overdose. But so we have a lot of great performers. We have Remwan, B Rain, Casey. Everybody's so excited about Kolichi. I know he's just super excited to get out there and be in a big crowd of people. we have
Kolichi.
I know, everybody, like, they're just so excited. And for the first time, he messaged me the other night, and I was like, is this really you? and it was. But we also have Nikki Gracious, who is here. He's from Indiana, and he's got a pop top on the Christian pop rock. I don't know if you've heard his single, but he's going to perform that. We have Sam Rorick, who is an upcoming star in country music, who is only a recovering addict, but she lost her mom due to addiction. And she's going to perform for us. And we have you, Climb for Recovery speaking. We have Mike speaking. Nick with the recovery magazine. He's coming. He's going to do all kinds of fun stuff. Oh, Lord. We've got Brittany, who is, she's a vet, so she's going to represent, you know, her being a veteran in recovery. Bree James is coming. She's got an amazing story. Adam Foster, Tyler Pack, Chicago Hope Dealers. I know I'm forgetting some of it. Minnesota Hope Dealers are coming.
Josh Seals.
Yeah. I know I'm getting somebody in there. You know, the one person I cannot forget because I love him the most. And he, you know, I talk to him all the time. And that's Andrew Hager. Like, he's going to be my sidekick that day. So if you guys don't know Andrew, you're going to love him after next Saturday. Like, you're just going to fall in love with him. He's amazing. And I forgot him. And he got all in my feeling, all in his feelings about it.
So. He has such a powerful story.
Oh, his story and his heart. You know, it's not even about his story. It's just who he is as a person. Like his, you know, he just kills it. Everything he does and the way he gives back. And like, I really encourage you guys, like that Blameless Children event. I mean, it'll change your heart forever. And I mean, I got a huge speeding ticket going to that, and it was still the best time of my life.
How fast were you going?
Well, I think I was going like 90 something in a 65.
Nice.
I told him, you know, and we had a car full, and I was like, I couldn't think what to say. And they're like, start crying. And I'm like, I can't cry. And they're like, well, say something. And I'm like, officer, we're just out here trying to save lives. And he's like,
going 95 and a 65. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was doing. But I'll just go ahead and get the ticket. So we have a lot of great speakers. We have music. We have recovery houses. We have sober living. Our sober living houses. We have a couple treatment centers that are local to us that are coming. Recovery Works is very strong in our community. And let's see, we have Spa Women's Ministry, who is my go-to. That's here in my community. We do a lot of give back to Spa. They have a great, amazing program, and what they're doing there is just out of this world. We have numerous graduates in our Stronger Than Addiction that graduated from the Spa Women's Ministry. One of the really good things for me is my oldest son, who is going to be celebrating 2 years, God willing, in September. He went through a program called Recovery Point in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And he was there for a year, and that's, you know, I love that place from the bottom of my heart. Like, they're in my prayers every day. And same for him. Like, he goes back to Recovery Point and back to Parkersburg and gives back to that community a lot. And I think there's like 4 carloads of guys who are graduates from Recovery Point that are coming to Recover Out Loud. And so I'm super excited about that. Like, that's just so amazing to me because I got to, you know, get to know these guys through going through the program with my son. Yeah, I don't know. It's just going to be one of those, like I tell people, everybody's coming. Like, what more do you want to know? Like, we have about 40 to 50 different resource booths. We have a whole area of education that is set up just focusing on teenagers and from junior high all the way. I mean, we have stuff for elementary school kids, and then we have real stuff, you know, for junior high school, up into college kids. So we have a huge area that will be focused on teenagers and, you know, getting education to them in our community.
Narcan training. You guys will have Narcan training there?
Yes, we'll have Narcan training there. We will have our local mobile opioid response team there. And also here in my, in Elkhart County where I live, I believe we have Overdose Lifeline here in Indiana. I don't know if it's nationwide, but I am the trainer and vendor in Elkhart County, distributor. So I, Overdose Lifeline, I don't think they're going to be there, but I'll have a table representing them because we're always looking for people in other counties to become a distributor and become, you know, certified to do the training and hand out Narcan. And that helps too, because it, you know, those little nasal sprays, I don't, you know everywhere, but one of them, buying them in bulk are $36 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So the more distributors that we have is the more money the state will give us. So we just want to get the, you know, train people. Since I started and they sent me, and this just a real quick, because this was just in the past few months, they sent me 25 doses of the nasal spray. And by, I distributed it all. And within a week, we had 3 reversals from those 25 doses. So, and one was a child. He was 18 years old. Actually, 2 were used on 18-year-olds in our community. So, and then I jumped on board with our state campaign. It's called Know the Facts Indiana. It used to be Know the O for the opioid when it was, you know, and then they changed it to Know the Facts because the opioids kind of started going back downhill. And, you know, like the meth in Indiana has always been over the top. So it's Know the Facts Indiana. And it was kind of crazy because the other night, a bunch of the girls came to my house and I knew they put a new billboard across the street from me in the week, and I didn't pay attention to it, but it's a Know the Facts Indiana billboard, a huge one. And it's it says recovery is possible. And it's right across the street from my house. I'm just like, but God, you know, like God, seriously? Like, and that just, those are things like that that just tell me like, okay, like you're doing the right thing. Keep going. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of good things going on at Recover Out Loud next week.
Yeah, that's a huge lineup. Like, that's I think, man, the more people that can make it, I think there's going to be a lot of people. And I forget who said it. It was Courtney that said it. And definitely there is not going to be a lack of food for sure. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
We have food. So, I mean, we have – and we're living in an Amish community, and we have – homemade this and homemade that. And I mean, Mike, I don't want to rub it in because I know you can't be here Friday night because your son's graduating high school.
I can. Rub it in.
No, I ask you.
We're having an amazing, VIP event planned for our guests. And we're having a huge taco bar with grilled steak and chicken. Like I said, we're in an Amish community, so we're having homemade fruit pizza and whoopie pies and monster cookies, and oh, it's just going to be amazing. I'm just so excited.
I'll send you pictures, Mike.
Yeah, huh? If you've never had all this homemade Amish stuff, like,
oh, no, just... I'm in PA. I'm not terribly far from Lancaster, so we have an Amish community, so trust me, I get all the homemade stuff, and I'm definitely going to miss out on that part of it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I know you will.
Yeah, we also have a special surprise that night for our guests of they're gonna get to travel in a horse and buggy.
Can I drive it?
I don't know.
You can pull it. You can pull it. You'll be the horse.
Yeah, you can ride the horse.
Oh man. So on a lighter note, so Travis, should you ask the question or should I?
You know, I've been thinking about it and it kind of freaks me out, but I'm going to ask anyway just because.
Yeah, okay, so
I need you to be quick on your feet with this question, okay?
Okay,
so if you were just in a goofball mood and you walked into your local grocery store, Walmart, whatever, and you wanted to freak out the cashier, what would you buy? Go.
Oh my gosh.
Am I the only one good at this game?
Yeah.
You were too good. Travis, you're too good at this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I bought everything in a grocery store.
Okay.
What would you buy?
Go ahead, Trav.
I'd probably start with duct tape, hose, probably like one of those giant spatulas. And a cast iron griddle, 4 packs of Jell-O, some sour cream, whipped cream, some Cocoa Puffs, and then I'd go like the cosmetic aisle, and I would just straight through all the adult section and just swipe it all into the cart. Stop hardware port, get some shovels, duct tape.
It gets better every time you answer that question, Travis.
See, those are things that I would get, but I wouldn't tell anybody. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, Mike's gone out to dinner with me, and I could be I'm something to go out to dinner with, huh, Mike?
Yeah. It was a good time. So we were fortunate we were able to get together in Connecticut at the last event. That all the guys performed that V-Rain, Rem 1, KC, Kalichi, Joe. Which was awesome. It was a great time. We had a great few days. So definitely looking forward to linking back up and doing it again on this scale, a much larger scale. It's gonna be incredible. And I think the amount of people come in and the influence that people have and just the passion and the purpose that all these people have that are coming. Like, I truly feel like, you know, this is going to be an event where, like, we all show up and God shows off. And I think it's really going to be a powerful, powerful, powerful day. And I'm counting down the days at this point. I can't wait. And Shay said she would buy cans of air.
Shay's coming up. So when we went to the One Voice event in Indiana, I can't remember what year it is, but we didn't tell Shay we were coming out, and we flew into Chicago. We drove to his house while he was working. And he knocked, and literally when he came home from work, me, Scott, Seth, and TJ were sitting on his couch.
Oh my God.
And we surprised him. I think at that point was his 7-year medallion. But yeah, we flew out from Maine just to surprise him and go to that event. And he took us through Chicago, and we, you know, went to the Millennial Park, and we went down the Riverwalk, and he fed me some like insane pizza. And,
yes.
Yeah, and it was a blast. I mean, unfortunately, it was like 99 degrees out in the freaking subways in Chicago. Smelt like a prison freaking gym. You know, like the
it was
putrid. You know, like I was angry at myself that I could even remember a place where I had smelt something like that before. But I'm trying to get Shay to come on down. But yeah, Shay. Yeah, and now he's coming up on 9 years, man. It's funny how things just steamroll.
Yeah, and the other person I have to give a quick shout out to, Nick Henning, also, who's in here now. I see you, brother. From We Are Warriors magazine, they're based out of Canada. I'm blessed enough to be able to work with them on the magazine as well and be a part of that, which is huge right now. It's the fastest growing magazine in North America. PTSD, addiction, recovery, first responders. Just incredible, incredible content. And he's amazing at what he does. And so is Sheena, his fiance. And they're actually finally moving down to the States from Canada. And they're going to be there also. So it's going to be incredible to make that connection also. So it's just going to be, I think, an amazing day of just, you know, testimony, a connection, and just living proof that it's possible. And the things that we're able to do today and have fun doing it all substance free. And really, I think it's just going to reach so many people. And I think it's going to be and I think I'm sure there's going to be another one next year. I'm assuming so. And yeah. I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And I can't wait. I truly, truly can't wait. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, I won't be there till Saturday. I'm flying into Chicago and I'm going to drive down and then back up into Chicago to leave a couple days there. What was that, Trev?
I said, and then when you get to the hotel, we'll struggle snuggle.
Oh, yeah, of course. So that's yeah. So, yeah, we have to have our struggle snuggle.
So, another, another real quick shout out is Angel, the shirt. I've seen a couple people comment on the hoodie that you're wearing. What's up with that hoodie?
I know. Isn't this amazing? Nobody special. I just got it in the mail. Yeah, this is Rem and Frank. Rem 1, B-Rain, the Nobody Special CD. I got a CD, a hoodie, stickers. I don't know. I think Travis was a part of it, but they just did that whole Discord group and everything. So I think I got like first access to this somehow. But they are going to have this merch at the event. I do know that, talking to Frank the other day, Rem 1. So yeah, Nobody Special, and their new CD is out and available for purchase on, I think, their pages.
On all platforms.
On all platforms, because I believe this is a CD with everybody's on there together. They created this. I'm not very knowledgeable right at the moment, Travis, so take it away.
So they released their CD, something that they've been working on, well, wanted to put out something together for a while. Back in October, man, these guys just went right out to the West Coast and just shot music video after music video after music video. The next one that they're releasing has Casey, Rem, and B. It's called Nobody Special. So the song's name's Nobody Special. And we're excited because Climb for Recovery helped sponsor the making of that video. And they're going to be releasing that soon. And they're such just great, great, amazing guys. They have great music, and they're just good guys. And you know, B, he doesn't have to do these things. Like he was talking to my 8-year-old, and my 8-year-old's like, "Oh, I love this song." And she was like, "How about you come to the show and we'll put you on stage?" And like,
it was amazing.
And then like he just grabs her, throws on stage, and next thing you know, she's up there performing. And that's just it shows the integrity of the type of people that you are, that they're in it for more, they're in it for the right reasons. And and they just make good.
And I agree right there. You know, it's not about, it's so much not about like the music they're creating. It's about who they are. I met these guys a few years back. And again, during COVID, we went to one of their concerts here in Indiana, and I had my granddaughter, and you know, she knows Rem 1 as Uncle Frank now. And you know, she thinks that Joe Nestor walks on water. So she has told the whole kindergarten class that Joe Nestor is coming to the rock concert. He's a rock star, and he's coming to have a concert for her, and he's coming in a limousine. And you know, she has Joe sent her, she has a t-shirt, and it's like they're just great human beings, you know? And that's what I tell people, you know, they're performers and they're amazing performers, but they're amazing people.
Just genuine, humble people. And I honestly, the project they put together, Nobody Special, you couldn't come up with a better title, because, you know, like there's no pedestal there. There's no anything. Like, we're nobody special. Like, this is just what we happen to do when we're able to do this, because of some things we've overcome. You know, it's just, it's incredible. Incredible message all around. And the album's fantastic too. So guys, make sure you check that out. 100%. Yeah. So where can everybody find you on anything social media wise, or Stronger Than Addiction, or about Recover Out Loud 2021?
Oh, they can find me, Stronger Than Addiction. We have a page on Facebook, and we have a Recover Out Loud page. And then I'm Angel Bryant. So, Stronger Than Addiction and Recover Out Loud, we have both of those pages. That's our main thing that we use. I mean, we have a YouTube, but we haven't really used it much, because, like I told you, I hate live videos and I hate live. They can find us on Facebook. Most of the time, that's where people find us, just on Facebook. We have a group, a special group that's for our weekly, you know, our people in our community, because we keep that open for updates, and you know, just, we're, like I said, we're a family out here. So you know, we can get personal on there. And I don't know how, because when we made the group, I told everybody, you know, like, don't invite people, because this is just our meeting people. And this is just for our privacy. And I don't know how, but Frank ended up in the page, and he's in the group. He's in there. And I'm like, well, we'll keep you. So, yeah, I'm on Facebook, and my friend Courtney, who's on here, I don't see the news, the feed, so I don't know what anybody's saying, but she's my chaos coordinator, so she keeps my life. Like, on any given night, I will send her a text message, and she's like, am I supposed to tell you to do all these things tomorrow? And I tell her, yes, please. And then she like asked me at the end of the day, did you do your things? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Okay, I'll do them tomorrow.
That's like,
I know all about that. Yeah, working with Travis.
Yeah, she just keeps my whole life, and you know, and she just messages me in the mornings like, how can I pray for you today? And I'm like, you know, like this whole big long thing, and I'm like, is that okay? Can you pray for all those things? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So yeah.
So you're lucky. So I don't get out. I get you, Travis, you need to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she's very firm too. But
that's the only approach with Travis. Yeah. Courtney is here, by the way. If you can't see the feed, she says that she loves you. So she's been commenting. She's here. So she says she loves you. But yeah, that's the message that Travis gets. You need to do this. You need to be here. Then, and then he comes back every time. Don't tell me what to do. But yeah, thank you, Angel. I want to just thank you again. So grateful that we were able to have you on tonight and touch on so many things, all the things you're doing in your community. I'm so proud of you. I know God's super proud of you. Keep walking in faith, spreading the message, helping the community, helping the youth, so many things. Like I could literally continue to go on and on. And I cannot wait until next Saturday, and we'll all be together with a ton of people doing what we do, you know, doing what God led us to do. It's his will, not ours. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing time. So I want to personally thank you so much for taking the time out tonight to join us. Just spread the message of what you do and what your purpose is here. And you're crushing it. You're crushing it.
Thank you.
And I just want to say Scott 100% just texted me and said he will volunteer for the dunk tank.
Yes.
That may have been somewhat of a lie, but we're just going to roll with it.
I'm just telling you, you're all going in the dunk tank.
I got all right. I got to bring a bathing suit. Yep.
Two piece.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, that might be the thing that you bring. That the I'm not the cashier, but I'm gonna be like, oh my god. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun things planned for the day, so.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing day for sure. A long, amazing day. I can't wait. So, guys, if you like the podcast lives, make sure you guys share them out. If you didn't get a chance to see it live, it's continuously runs. You can see us on our Facebook page. The Stigma Ends Here. It's on most of our, you know, closed groups as well. You know, sober, clean and sober groups, our main pages. And also, please check out the YouTube channel also, The Stigma Ends Here podcast on YouTube, and subscribe there as well. And you can turn on notifications for when we go live. So, you know, we've been off for a couple weeks, but we're back. And so we'll see what next week holds. Thursday, Travis is traveling in to Indiana at that time. So not sure what next week will hold, but we're going to be there for the event on Saturday. So definitely stay tuned to all of our socials and stuff, because we're definitely going to be putting a lot of stuff out there and keep you guys involved. Whether you're there, we want to make it feel like you are there with us. So we're going to put some content out and just to be able to spread that out there. So we love all you guys for joining. Thank you so much. As usual, we appreciate you all. I hope that you have an amazing night and a better tomorrow. Angel, Travis, love you both, and everybody out there. So God bless you all, and thank you so much for tuning in tonight.
All right. Bye. Love you guys.
Bye. Have a wonderful night.